God is speaking to you guys, Australia. You need to repent.
A myriad of ideas and themes, from gender and sexuality to culture and socially acceptable behavior to existence, morality, and mortality, are all explored here.
A staunch feminist and advocate of women's dress reform, Mary Edwards Walker refused to live and dress the part of a woman. She became one of the first female physicians in the country.
What you gonna do when Zelensky comes calling?
I'm guilty!
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Thai lesbians sue for marriage rights, Bustamante's delusions break with film convention, and Trump's legal woes trigger rainbow quid pro quos. Those stories and more this week, now that you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Laura Dickinson Turner.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending November 23rd, 2019. A lesbian couple has filed a petition in Thailand's constitutional court after their request to register their marriage was rebuffed. The illegal bias lawsuit was submitted on November 22nd through the advocacy group Foundation for Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity Rights and Justice. Spokeswoman Nayana Supapung told the Straits Times that the Thai constitution guarantees our birthrights of having a family and descendants. It also protects us citizens against discrimination of all kinds, including gender. The petition charges that denying marriage equality violates Thailand's civil and commercial code. It states that all persons are equal before the law and shall have rights and liberties and be protected equally under the law. Anjana Suvarnananda of the LGBTQ rights group Anjaru Foundation told Reuters that the legal challenge is risky. She says she's worried that the outdated notion of marriage will persist for a while if the court challenge fails. Douglas Sanders is an academic associate at the Mayadaw University in Bangkok who has researched the burgeoning movement for marriage equality in Asia. He told Reuters that even losing the court fight isn't always terrible. It is on TV, in the papers, and on social media, which gives the issue, the individuals, and organizations visibility.
Meanwhile, Thai lawmakers are considering a less-than-marriage civil partnership bill for same-gender couples. The draft legislation being developed has brought mixed reviews from equality activists. It does not grant same-gender couples the full range of heterosexual spousal benefits or allow queer couples to adopt. Some in the community say it's a good first step. Others argue that it will perpetuate the second-class status of gay and lesbian couples. Four out-and-proud LGBTQ Thais were elected to parliament in national elections earlier this year. They're expected to push for expanded rights, ranging from changing restrictive dress codes to marriage equality. Thailand has had the reputation of being one of the more queer-welcoming countries in Asia since homosexual acts were decriminalized there in 1956. According to a survey by the United Nations Development Program last year, 2 in 3 Thais say they have no objection to same-gender unions.
A crusading transgender activist won a historic court ruling in Zimbabwe on November 21st. High Court Justice Francis Beer found that the arrest and 3-day detention of trans woman Ricky Nathanson was both thoughtless and malicious. It all began with Nathanson's 2014 bathroom arrest by 6 police officers in riot gear for using the women's bathroom in a Harare bar. The written ruling condemned several crude, invasive medical examinations that Nathanson was forced to undergo while in custody. Justice Beer concluded that the conduct of the police in arresting and detaining her was quite outrageous. Nathanson's lawsuit asked for the equivalent of $2.7 million in damages, but the judge awarded her only about $1,100. In his words, the amount was not meant to enrich the victim, but to try and salvage some kind of dignity for the pain endured. He did order the defendants to also pay court costs. Nathanson was granted U.S. asylum last year after documenting the pervasive persecutions she experienced in the oppressively anti-queer Southern African nation. She now lives in a suburb of Washington, D.C., and works for a trans rights organization. Zimbabwe's rabidly homophobic dictator, Robert Mugabe, ruled the country for 20 years with an iron fist. LGBTQ people were regular targets of his vile rhetoric until he was overthrown in 2017. He died in September. The online news site iHarare.com noted that Nathanson's victory was all the more remarkable because it was launched during Mugabe's tenure. The site headlined its report of this story, "Mugabe Turning in His Grave."
A third U.S. federal judge has rejected the Trump administration's policy to allow discrimination against LGBTQ people based on religious freedom. The policy covered any program or agency getting federal funds from the Department of Health and Human Services, or HHS, announced on November 1st. The rule change was yet another attempt to roll back anti-bias protections established during the administration of Barack Obama. It allows federally funded health care providers to cite moral or religious objections for denying abortion services, contraception, gender confirmation surgery, or other services. U.S. District Judge William Alsup of the Northern District of California minced no words in his decision. Alsup wrote, "When a rule is so saturated with error as here, there is no point trying to sever the problematic provisions. The whole rule must go." District judges in New York and Washington had already come to the same conclusion. The LGBTQ advocacy group Lambda Legal was one of the plaintiffs in the California court challenge. Senior attorney Jamie Glicksberg said in a written statement that the denial of care rule targets some of our most marginalized and vulnerable communities and deserves to be relegated to the dustbin of history. The rulings apparently don't address other services. The announced rule changes would allow groups receiving HHS funding to deny based on moral or religious belief. Those include adoption and foster care placement, homeless shelters, or HIV services.
Australian immigration authorities are treating an asylum-seeking gay journalist couple from Saudi Arabia as badly as the homeland they were forced to flee. On their arrival in Australia, the men were searched, handcuffed, and taken to a detention center. Their pseudonyms are Sultan and Nassar. They've been together for 16 years. According to the Sydney Star-Observer, Sultan said that he and Nassar fear being deported back to Saudi Arabia, where he says they would get immediately picked up and thrown into prison, and possibly made to disappear. "If I had any idea this was going to happen to us," he said, "we would have gone to another country." The queer advocacy group Just.Equal accused the Australian government of doing the job of the Saudi government by detaining the men. The couple lived a relatively lavish life in Riyadh, although deeply closeted. Homosexual acts can be punished by execution. Sultan says he worked for the media ministry and defended the regime to international reporters. He also sometimes worked with foreign journalists as a field producer. Sultan says he came under suspicion for passing negative information about the regime to foreign journalists, a charge he denies.
But as much as they probably tried to keep it a secret, Sultan's superiors apparently knew about his relationship with Nassar. There were rumors that the couple might be outed. Then they were each called separately to report to the Riyadh Police Department for a criminal investigation. "That's when we said, 'Oh my God,'" according to Sultan. He says they were left with no choice but to leave the kingdom and seek asylum elsewhere. Human rights lawyer Alison Battison told the Australian edition of The Guardian that under the country's convoluted immigration laws, there is no limit to the length of time these people can spend in detention. An online petition demands their immediate release with what are called bridging visas that would allow them to stay in the country while their case is being processed. It's not known if thousands of signatures will have any impact on the couple's fate. Saudi Arabia's state security agency defines homosexuality, feminism, and atheism as forms of extremism.
Finally, former Australian rugby star Israel Folau made waves again this week as bushfires ravaged parts of his country. In a sermon at his father's allegedly cult-like evangelical Christian church, he linked the natural disaster to the advent of marriage equality and relaxed abortion laws.
"Look how rapid these bushfires, these droughts, all these things have come in a short period of time. You think it's a coincidence or not? God is speaking to you guys, Australia. You need to repent. A little taste of what God's judgment."
The sermon was posted to Facebook. Folau was fired by Rugby Australia for violating provisions of his employment contract with social media posts vilifying LGBTQ people. He's suing Rugby Australia for unlawful termination based on his religious belief.
Then came word that Folau unknowingly made a donation to a queer youth organization. The embattled rugby star and his wife Maria dined recently at Gorilla Kitchen, a vegan restaurant in Auckland, New Zealand. The lesbian owners and operators of the eatery announced in a Facebook posting that Folau's payment for the meals was being donated to Rainbow Youth, a support group for vulnerable LGBTQ young people. They said they didn't ask the Folau's to leave because it would make a more positive point to serve them. The post continued, "We found it quietly amusing he ate food cooked by a lesbian and then served by a lesbian." We haven't gone to hell yet.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending November 23rd, 2019. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out Radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Laura Dickinson Turner.
Civil War surgeon Mary Edwards Walker, coming up on the Rainbow Minute.
But first, put together 25 years of a world-famous Los Angeles artist's work on screen, and you might also come to the conclusion that now Bustamante is delusional. That's what Red Cat Theater and Dirty Looks Incorporated called their collection of a dozen Bustamante short films. It was a feast for the eyes of This Way Out's John Dyer V, as long as he could keep them open.
It was only after I experienced the mind-blowing cinematic works of renowned performance artist Nao Bustamante that I learned how it is possible to be assaulted by a marauding assortment of disembodied penises. That charming event is just one of many, many hair-raising occurrences to befall our gorgeous and unlikely heroine in a series of 12 short films presented at Disney Hall's Red Cat Theater in Los Angeles. Produced by queer film, video, and performance production platform Dirty Looks Incorporated, this sampling of Now's precarious body of work is beyond eclectic, and some material is not for the faint of heart. Besides film and video installation, Ms. Bustamante's work also incorporates live performance, sculpture, and writing. She is currently professor of art at the USC Roski School of Art and Design and director of the MFA program in art. To give a small overview of her astonishing creations, we'll discuss a few of the videos recently screened. It won't take long to understand that we are dealing with the most uncompromising and truly committed artist. In the opening video, Silver and Gold, it's quickly established that Bustamante is a fan of prolonged, almost static shots. After discovering her enshrined in flowers, lying motionless on the ground, we see the artist from overhead, slowly, steadily walking across a huge green field into a deep forest, where she eventually disappears from view. Inspired by queer filmmaker Jack Smith and his muse, 1940s movie goddess Maria Montez, the adventure really begins here. Encountering a hanging, masked, sequined figure with gold headdress, she embraces it, eventually becoming one with the figure. We follow her as she treks through the woods, communing with the birds and all of Mother Nature. It is then that the aforementioned conglomeration of penises appears and begins to terrorize her. The following sequence finds her awakening in a field to discover she now has a large, bejeweled penis of her own. And she lovingly converses with it in a heavy Maria Montez accent. And yes, it talks back to her. That's not the end, but you get the idea that this is mostly non-linear filmmaking. In Rosa Does Joan, we watch footage of the artist as seen on the late 1980s Joan Rivers show, portraying a woman who is an exhibitionist. This is more of a traditional characterization, and we see other actors portraying voyeurs and the like for Joan's talk show. Definitely the most conventional of all the shorts screened. In the very brief Sans Gravity, the artist is seen immersing her head into a large plastic bag filled with water. And then the bag is taped around her neck. Mildly disturbing, but she breaks the bag open when her breath finally runs out. A story begins innocuously enough with a colorful framed print of a woman in a field of flowers being taken off the wall. The picture is taken apart, and the glass covering the picture is removed. Then Bustamante, sitting in a chair, grasps the piece of glass, puts the corner of it in her mouth, and begins sliding her mouth across the edge of the glass. I'll be honest, I could not watch the rest of this video and kept my eyes shut for most of it. I had to laugh, though, as I heard the phone ring in the video, and she answers, trying to tell the other person that she is working. The person evidently can't understand her, and she repeats many times the muffled words, "Because my mouth is full of blood." Like I said before, her commitment level is stupendous. Another behind and in front of the camera piece is called Work of Art, and it chronicles Bustamante's time competing on an artist competition reality show called Work of Art. Now, as usual, pulls no punches, making the actual competition part of her performance art. Her final piece, which was amazing, if baffling, was deemed too confusing to be a winner, and some judges found it scatological. However, it seemed that there was a lot more going on there than with most of the more traditional artists' efforts. Lifestyle and The Chain South are a bit more linear in plot. One follows a blonde Bustamante in what is essentially a portrait of a very L.A. three-way relationship with two other men, while the other witnesses the artist, dressed as Ronald McDonald, going into various McDonald's locations located near or below the Mexican border, pushing the envelope of acceptable behavior in a fast food restaurant. The employees' and patrons' reactions are priceless. My favorite of the 12 films is called The Perfect Ones, and it is probably the most linear plotline. If Now ever did do a traditional feature storyline, I would be the first in line to watch it. We follow her glamorous rich bitch character who ends up in an auto accident, and when she gets out of the car, her high-heeled shoe is sticking directly out of her forehead. From there, she ends up, protruding shoe and all, at a punk rock club, and joins up with the renegade musicians, one of whom is also played by Bustamante. A myriad of ideas and themes, from gender and sexuality to culture and socially acceptable behavior to existence, morality, and mortality, are all explored here. And all of it is widely open to personal interpretation. In all of these films, whether abstract, linear, or just plain odd, the production values, photography, editing, and especially the music are always top-notch, allowing us to witness the artist in all her incredibly bold and cutting-edge glory. You can find many of the filmed works of Now Bustamante online on sites like Vimeo, Google, and at nowbustamante.com. For This Way Out, I'm John Dyer V.
The next thing you hear...
In Hong Kong, LGBT activists are taking part in the pro-democracy demonstrations.
Now, we need to come together on all fronts and push aside those that divide us.
I choose to fight, and that begins today.
There are the votes in the Senate to pass it if they can do it without a roll call.
To use an Australian phrase, the religious freedom bills are nothing but a hot mess.
In the coming 2 years, we will probably have the very first country in the Eastern Bloc implementing same-sex marriage.
The next thing you hear will be at thiswayout.org, starting Giving Tuesday, December 3rd.
You take a look at that call. It was perfect.
He's just a girl who quit pro quo.
Randy Rainbow will ease your fear of Latin later in the program after we learn about a real U.S. patriot.
Civil War surgeon Mary Edwards Walker, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. A staunch feminist and advocate of women's dress reform, Mary Edwards Walker refused to live and dress the part of a woman. She became one of the first female physicians in the country. While married for a short time, she wore trousers and a man's coat and kept her last name. Originally denied a position as an Army medical officer during the Civil War, she volunteered as a nurse, serving in several battles, and was captured and held in Richmond, Virginia for 4 months. In 1866, she became the very first female U.S. Army surgeon. After her service as a surgeon in the Civil War, Dr. Walker resumed her unconventional lifestyle, even wearing men's clothes. Yet she was the first woman in history to receive a Congressional Medal of Honor. In 1917, the U.S. Congress changed the criteria for the medal to include actual combat with an enemy, and Dr. Walker's medal was revoked. Walker refused to return the medal and wore it illegally every day until her death in 1919. For years, friends and family lobbied to have Walker's medal reinstated, and in 1977, President Jimmy Carter signed an order doing just that, citing Walker's distinguished gallantry and self-sacrifice, despite the apparent discrimination because of her sex. Today, Dr. Walker's medal is on display at the Pentagon. In 1982, the U.S. Postal Service issued a 20-cent first-class stamp in commemoration of Dr. Mary Edwards Walker as a recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor and the second woman to graduate from medical school in the United States. Oddly enough, the full-color stamp portrays her wearing a fancy dress and curls. To the contrary, she wore men's clothes and boasted that she'd even been arrested for impersonating a man. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Josh Behrman.
What is the true definition of gender dysphoria?
Originally, gender dysphoria was gender identity disorder, and this was changed in 2013, essentially just to get rid of the word disorder.
It's not something that you choose. You feel the way that you feel, and that's just kind of how it is.
Outcasting queer youth broadcasters Andrew and Casper tell it like it is about trans identity. It's an in-depth, insightful, and sometimes very personal conversation. Next time on This Way Out. If impeachment hearings in the U.S. House of Representatives give you the blues, here's YouTube star singing satirist Randy Rainbow to put some color back in your ears.
And with that, I yield back the balance of my time.
Thank you, Ranking Member Nunez. I will now recognize myself. Hey, bitch. Okay, Ms. Williams, Lieutenant Colonel Vitamita Vegeman, thank you both for your testimonies today in this impeachment inquiry into the 45th President of the United States, Donald Jessica Trump. I would now like to read a portion of the July 25th phone call between Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky. Trump says, "We would like you to do us a favor, though. There's lots of talk about Joe Biden's son. Also, we have reason to believe there was meddling in the 2016 election by some terrible people, very bad people, a woman named Chrissy Teigen and a very hairy man, Alex Baldwin. Terribly, terribly hairy. Whatever you can do. Hang on, I have to make another call real quick. Yes, give me a 10-piece tenders with extra biscuits and two large sides." Well, then he just orders chicken. Did you find this call unusual?
Yes.
Yes.
And is it true, Ambassador Taylor, that you were conflicted about the role of the president's personal lawyer?
I was concerned about Rudy Giuliani's statements.
Honey, could you kick it up a notch? We're on television.
And so by the end of June, I had begun to hear references to investigations.
Yeah. Really sell it to me, honey. Give it some pizzazz.
As something that would have to happen prior to the meeting that...
Here, maybe wear this.
...that President Trump had offered to President Zelensky.
You know what? Let me help you out. Devin, give me my note, please.
His phone calls ain't as perfect as the picture that he paints.
He's full of so much crap, he's turning brown. We've read the memorandums and the transcripts and complaints. And let's be real, we all see what went down. His conduct was unethical, we know. But when it comes to influencing foreign government officials by withholding military aid until they agree to investigate his personal opponents to serve his own political agenda, he's a hoe.
Did you take a look at that call? It was perfect.
A very innocent call.
He's just a girl who quid pro quo. Blackmail's his favorite response. He'll badger any friend or foe until he gets what he wants. When it comes to foreign policy, he says his correspondence is top shelf.
It was beautiful.
But it's really just a fallacy. He's only interested in himself. He's just a fool who'll gladly throw any old country a bone, long as they bow to his throne. Since he can't win on his own, he'll quit.
And now the impeachment begins.
What you gonna do when Zelensky comes calling? Your numbers are a-falling. What you gonna do? Supposing that you know that he's possibly hiding some dirt on Joe Biden. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when Ambassador Sondland corroborates what we already know? What you gonna do when Zelensky called?
Pay for quid pro quo.
Girl.
He's just a braggadocio to any foreign ally.
To take a look at that call, it was perfect.
When Ukraine called, he said hello, just when he should have said
до побачення.
When he recognized our rivalry, he told him that he wouldn't give up
till they bend it to his bribery, which turns out is impeachable as...
He throws a fit when whistles blow. He's just a petulant kid.
He'll gladly pro quo or quid.
He'll say he won't, but he did a quid.
A quid pro quo.
Quid pro quo.
Girl.
Randy Rainbow's video, swag, and live tour information live at randyrainbow.com, and you can watch this one at thiswayout.org. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Laura Dickinson Turner and John Dyer V, produced by Brian DeShazer, from Josh Behrman, produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns, and from John Dyer V. Randy Rainbow performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yovana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Paul Bannon, Richard Merck, and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all the listener donors who make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappelle. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KALW San Francisco, California, CHSR Fredericton, New Brunswick, WREK Atlanta, Georgia, and a wide array of community radio stations and other outlets around the world, including this one. Now y'all stay tuned.